We are picking up in the Sermon on the Mount. We are moving into chapter 6. Chapter 6 takes on a little bit different of a tone. So chapter 5, if you remember, was the Beatitudes, and then if you want to have righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees, these are the things that you should do. And now in chapter 6, it's beginning to move into what more of a spiritual, what is the word I'm looking for? Spiritual discipline thrust. But today we're looking at chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am just so thankful that we can come to you in prayer. That we can come before the throne of the Creator of the universe and you hear us. Hear us, O Lord, as our hearts cry out. Hear us and receive our praise. Speak to us this morning, drawing us closer to you and to a deeper understanding of your love for us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So I'm not a huge New Year's resolution type of guy because I fail at New Year's resolutions. I am ADD in every aspect of my life, which means that as soon as I set a resolution, that I'm distracted by something else, and now I have a new resolution and a new resolution. But I do frequently reflect on maybe things that I want to change or things that I want to do differently. And so this year, as I was doing my exit interview for 2024, and thinking about that I am maybe okay with 2024 going away, and how I wanted things to be different. And I was thinking about my role as a pastor and what my life looks like. And frequently what my life looks like is people come to me in the worst moments of their life and then in the best moments of their life. Hospital visits and funerals, or weddings and baptisms, or hearing amazing testimonies of how God is moving and working. And I was thinking about, well, the challenge, or where I want to find myself more, are those spaces in between. The spaces in between the worst moments and the best moments. You know, the everyday life. How do we show up in the everyday life? And as I was thinking about that and the challenge of that, it was almost, God was kind of saying to me, he was saying, well, why is it so hard for me to show up in those everyday moments of your life? You're really good at coming to me in the worst moments of your life and in the best moments of your life, but you're not so great at coming to me in those everyday moments of your life. And really, this section in Matthew chapter 6, in many ways, is about coming to Jesus, coming before God in those everyday moments of life. And so we've gone through the Beatitudes and this righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees, and we've talked in depth about this idea of how we can apply those to loving our neighbors and being better Christians, and we're not moving away from that, because really I think that all of this influences how we interact with the world around us. But really, we're not moving away from that, but we are moving into some time of looking a little bit more inward at ourselves. Looking inward in order that we might impact the world around us. And so today we're looking at this idea of practicing our righteousness before other people. Next Sunday we're going to be moving into a series inception on prayer. But today we take note of this warning that comes from Jesus. And we take note, really any time that Jesus uses language like beware, or, you know, take heed, watch out, that we should probably pay special attention to that. That if Jesus is warning us, you know, with this really blaring warning, that we need to take it seriously. And he's saying that under no circumstances is this okay. And what he's talking about is what I was talking about with the children, is this idea of tooting our own horns or bringing glory to ourselves or doing good things for the kingdom of God, but reality, like seeking to make ourselves look better. Jesus says that when we do this, when we draw attention to ourselves in the midst of our good deeds or our giving, that's really of no consequence. It's of no benefit. There is no reward or value to the kingdom of God or to ourselves. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt in the Exodus, he tells them that he's done so that they can worship him. I have rescued you so that you can worship me. So frequently we like to think, well, God has rescued me because it's about me. I'm so special that God decided to rescue me. I'm so important that God decided to rescue me. The reality is, and I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but you really aren't that special. You're really, really not that special. But we do see really good things happen in our lives. We see good things happen in our lives when we draw close to God because God is good. And when we're close to the center or the origin of goodness, good things happen. But then we also live in this world that is fallen. And because we are in a world that is fallen, bad things happen. And so as we're close to God, we experience these good things. We've talked about over and over again, my kind of a reoccurring theme of mine, or something that I say over and over again, is that God is more concerned with our hearts than our habits. And that's where it starts. That's the drawing close to God is all about the process of Him changing our hearts, drawing us closer to Him, redirecting, transforming, recreating who we are. And we have to remember that we haven't done anything miraculous. He has. We haven't performed, you know, the heart surgery on ourselves. It's God. God is the one who is changing us. And it's because we have these transformed hearts or transformed lives, in response to that, in response to what God has done, it's because of that that we seek to have right actions, that our transformed hearts are the origin for a transformation in habits. Everything should be motivated. Everything that we do is motivated by what God has done for us and to bring Him glory, not us. It's a pretty countercultural idea. It goes against who we like to feel special. All of us. All of us like to feel special. We like to feel important. We like to feel like we are significant. And it's this interesting idea to recognize and to understand that we're really not that special. But God loves us anyway. In the midst of our failings and our brokenness, our insignificance, our inability to fix even the smallest things in our lives, God says, I love you, and I want to fix those things for you. And so I talked to the kids a little bit about, you know, the horns or the whistles. They make their way into our house, like, all the time. I don't know where half of them come from. And all of a sudden, there's a little child blaring this horn, and it's incredible how loud something so small can be. But, it's not even necessarily the noise that bothers me. I'm loud. Salisa says our kids are loud because I'm loud. But it's that, like, when that whistle is blowing, you can't, like, there is nothing else in the world happening. It is just that whistle. And it's like, I want to proceed with my life now and move beyond this whistle. And it's kind of like when we do good things and we try to draw our attention to ourselves, it's kind of what we're doing. As we're blowing our whistles as loudly as we can and we're telling the world, don't look at anything else, just look at me. See how important that I am. See how special that I am. Put your attention on me. And God's saying, no. Put the attention on God. Stop blowing your horn. Stop tooting your horns. And if you're going to blow a horn for my glory. Because God doesn't mind us being loud, but He likes us being loud for the right reasons. You know, and when those whistles and those horns go outside, they're suddenly so much less annoying. And it's because, you know, it's this music going out into the world. And it's not beautiful, but it's not as in your face. And there's this temptation here that maybe we're thinking, okay, so we're not supposed to, you know, toot our own horns, but that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to declare the glory of what God is doing. Because there is a significant difference between bringing glory to ourselves and bringing glory to God. Really, no matter who you are, where you are in your faith journey, God has done amazing things in your life. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in your faith journey, God has done amazing things in your life. In Christianese or in Christian language, we call that testimonies. The stories of the amazing things that God has done in your life. So we, Elliot and I were able to go with a mission trip team to Mexico. And I didn't get to be with the rest of the group. But because I was asked to do the men's ministry, and as we were planning for men's ministry, and everybody was, you know, well, what do you do for men's ministry? Women's ministry is easy because churches have been doing that really well for years, but men's ministry is something that still continues to baffle us. But it was decided that that one of the things we were going to do is just invite the men to share their testimonies. And it was amazing to hear these men talk about the way that God had moved and worked in their lives. You know, other overcoming, drug addictions and struggles with their families and illnesses and sickness, things that God was doing in their neighborhoods and around their homes. And this idea that God, you know, is bigger than sometimes we picture him to be. That he extends and into every aspect of our life, into countries beyond our own, into languages that we don't know or understand. And so I heard these amazing testimonies in Mexico and had the opportunity to share some of mine. But then as we were driving back in the drive that is incredibly too long, I began to think about some of the amazing testimonies that I've heard from some of you. Some of the testimonies that some of you have shared with me. That's one of the great things about my job, is that people come to me in the worst moments and in the best moments. I get to hear about those best moments all the time. All of you have a testimony. All of you have something worth sharing. Because no matter who you are, no matter where you are in your faith journey, God has done something amazing in your life. And those are the things that are worth sharing. That is how we are supposed to be blowing our horns, is to bring God the glory. Do you have a testimony to share? The answer is yes. You do. God has moved and worked in your life in an amazing way. And sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, my testimony is really not that great. Are you? It's the same God. He's no less great in your life than he is in someone else's. God is really, really, really big. And he wants us to talk about him. And so that's my assignment for you. My assignment for you is to think about the big, the amazing, the incredible ways that God has moved and worked in your life. And to think about how you might share that with someone. How you might share those stories with someone. Anyone. Take an opportunity to be creative in how you might share those stories. If you want to take it to the next level, think about, would you like to share it here? Would you like to share a testimony in front of the church? Think about that. Pray about that. Talk to me about it. Because the reality is that in our lives and in the world around us, God is doing amazing things. Despite what the news might be telling us, or the world, or our pessimistic hearts, God is doing amazing things. We're not. We're really not. I mean, we do some pretty good stuff, but anything that we do that turns out to be really, really good is because God has been behind it in some way. And I'm not trying to make you feel little. Well, actually, yes, I am. But I'm not trying to belittle. But I'm trying to get you to understand or gain a better understanding of just how big God is. Of how big God is. and in the scale of God, how insignificant it might be for us to blow our little horns or whistles. And I wonder sometimes, does God get as annoyed with us blowing our whistles as I do with my children? But instead, to go outside and to share with the world around you the amazing things that God has done. And suddenly, it becomes a much prettier noise. That's my encouragement for you, to think about that. Spend the week thinking about it, praying about it. How has God moved and worked in my life? And how can I share that with someone? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, time and time again, you have shown up. I am so thankful to be a witness to the amazing things that you have done in the lives of the people around me, that you have done in my life. The miraculous, the unexplainable, the stepping into the ordinary, mundane moments of life and declaring that you are God. I am so thankful for those moments. Help us to recognize them. Help us to bring you glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.